folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris once again.
Goeiedag, South Africa. Otsihilijang, Botswana. Hey, herzlich willkommen bei uns hier auf Chris White Africa. In Deutschland, Italien, Südtirol, Österreich, Frankreich, Niederland und alle die deutsch sprechende Leute überall unserer Welt. Ja, welcome everybody. Welcome back to Chris White Africa on a lovely, lovely, lecker, lecker Freitag afternoon. It's a pleasure to have you all back again. Today is Friday, May 14th, 2021. Well, for those who are superstitious, we missed the 13th by a single day this month. The 13th was yesterday. Today is Friday, May 14th, 2021. Let's get to Indaba Africa news of the day. Right to the headlines, ladies and gentlemen, and some interesting developments occurring over the last 24 hours. First off, in South Africa, Ace goes to court. Ace Magashule, the suspended former Secretary General of the African National Congress, has decided to take his case to court to stop the African National Congress from his suspension. His buddy Carl Niehaus has stepped up to the plate and said, indeed, Ace will go to court. The Daily Maverick reports on an investigation by Amabungane, the investigative media site, about the purported car powership tender corruption with a 225 billion rand deal, saying it was rigged from the outset. And the allocation of vacant land or underutilized land by the South African Ministry for Lands and Land Reform, 700,000 hectares is proceeding more slowly than expected. This according to Land Reform Minister Taco Dizide. So I guess we need expropriation without compensation because the government's inefficient at returning unused land to people. Over the past few days, there was a break-in at the Hoedspruit Air Base in the vicinity of the Kruger National Park in Mpumalanga. Wow, you can't even secure your military bases, South Africa? News you can use, South Africa. Internet service providers have been slashing their prices and increasing their speeds over the past month as competition hots up in the internet service provider marketplace in South Africa. Good news for South Africans who are paying ridiculously high data prices for data in South Africa. Very good news. News you can use. South Africa's cabinet, Cyril Ramaphosa's cabinet, has sent six new bills to Parliament for consideration as laws. These include bills on firearms, terrorism, fuel, nuclear power, food and agriculture, and plants. Six new bills to become laws. South Africa's variant, or South Africa's subsidiary of the American company KMPG, KMPG South Africa, is boasting of its wokeness with nine new partners who've joined the firm. Proud of its wokeness, touting their wokeness. Amnesty International has joined the ranks of the woke racist movement with a vile, disgusting, fraudulent story about the evacuation that took place in Cabo Delgado last month in the midst of a ghoulish attack by insurgents, claiming that only white people were evacuated and that people were racially segregated during the evacuation. A complete tissue of lies, which I will dissect in this newscast and then do a separate video because Amnesty International's conduct is reprehensible and disgusting. An example of allowing someone in a local area to write a report and no one with any knowledge of events on the ground back in New York actually allowing the report to go out. Rioting continues in Algiers, where the economy is cratering after a devaluation of the Algerian dinar recently. Kenya's high court halts President Kenyatta's efforts to consolidate power by striking down a decision he made, saying he misused an existing law in the Constitution that's not intended for the chief executive, but for the people. Colonial Pipeline, you know the folks who brought us no gas in 1970s-style Joe Biden gasoline lines, a la Jimmy Carter, here on the East Coast of the United States. Colonial, who claimed that they refused to pay the ransomware to the hackers, lied to us the whole way. They paid $5 million in cryptocurrency, apparently, to the hackers. And another Airbus A380 bites the dust, literally. We'll see images of an A380 picked apart as one of the most iconic aircrafts and one of the biggest hopes for Airbus for their profitability going forward is coming to the end of its service life as only a handful of airlines continue to fly the A380 in the post-pandemic travel environment. Robert Lewandowski from Bayern Munich, the Polish star playing for the Reds, is on the cusp of history, ladies and gentlemen. He has a chance to break Gerd Müller's long existing since 1971 record of 40 goals in a Bundesliga season. With two games remaining, he has 39 goals and is on the cusp of setting that record at 40 goals, being from the first ever Bundesliga player. This despite to score 40 goals in the season. This despite the fact that Lewandowski missed five games this season and came off the bench in another game, only late in the game. So essentially lost 5.5 games, still on the cusp of setting a record. In addition to that, folks, I have a special bonus coverage talking about DarkSide. That's the hacker group that apparently broke into Colonial Pipeline's systems. And we'll talk about that, a report from the Wall Street Journal, as well as efforts to inspire young Americans to join the U.S. Army. We'll look at a current advert that's currently playing from GoArmy.com. And then we'll look at an advert that led to my decision to join the military. Not the specific one, but this campaign. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the headlines for today, May 14th, 2021. It's a Friday, quite lovely here in central Pennsylvania. Let me get right to those news stories with in-depth analysis and commentary. First off, ACE. ACEs going to court, ladies and gentlemen. Well, good for you, ACE. It is your prerogative. Magashule is likely to take the legal route, says his buddy, the vile, treasonous Carl Niehaus. Key ally says an apology from ANC Secretary General is far from coming as he still has to exhaust all legal channels at his disposal. Of course, tie up the courts and distract and divert people's attention. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, the great and powerful Oz. Ace Magashule's close ally, the former member of the African National Congress, suspended for his own conduct, Carl Niehaus, on Thursday said that Secretary General will go the legal route after suspension from the party. I've said what I can say, he said this on SAFM radio, that there will be legal action and it will happen as soon as possible. I've said that there will be legal action, that there we will take legal action in due course as soon as possible. That is what I said. I can't say more. Decision to go to court means Magashule's anticipated apology of the party's suspension and counter-suspension saga will not be coming to an end anytime soon. And in fact, Ace Magashule has gone to court. Suspended Secretary General Ace Magashule has taken his dispute to the court system. African National Congress leader, former African National Congress leader Ace Magashule has moved court on an urgent basis over his suspension from the ruling party. He declared that his decision to suspend South African President Cyril Ramaphosa from the party to be valid and effective until lawfully nullified. Of course, remember, on May 3rd, secretly, Ace Magashule issued his own suspension letter, suspending the president of the party on no basis whatsoever. Also, he has no authority as an individual to do that. He'd already been suspended when he issued the letter. What a clown car show the African National Congress is. And in fact, News 24 does report that he has, in fact, gone to court. Magashule asked the court to reverse his suspension and suspend Ramaphosa instead. Folks, you can't make this up. Do you know what's truly sad about this? I sit here and laugh. But what's truly sad is that South Africans are suffering. They're suffering from a plundering, bigoted, racist party that's destroying the country, that's intent on reshaping the country in their view of a communist paradise, which it's not. It is not, and it can never be. But millions of South Africans suffer. They wonder where their next rand will come from, where their next meal will come from. Thieves stealing food from public school students, and then they go hungry until generous private people step forward and feed them because the government fails to do their responsibility. Air bases being broken into and attacked. 60 people per day murdered, women raped, assaulted, murdered, farmers murdered, tortured, lives plundered, cash in transit, drivers, life expectancy shorter than that of a cicada. By the way, cicadas live for 17 days. Ace Magashule has gone to court. Well, good for you, Ace. Suspended ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule is unrepentant about his letter of suspension to party president Cyril Ramaphosa and has asked a court to reverse his own suspension, declare Ramaphosa suspended instead. Court papers that Magashule served for the ANC, Ramaphosa in his personal and ANC capacity and Deputy Secretary General Desi Duterte surfaced on Friday morning. Magashule says the Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg asked them to hear a case on June 1st on an urgent basis. How is June 1st an urgent basis? It's May 14th. That's over 2 weeks from now. To me, that's not urgent, folks. Magashule wrote his suspension letter about Ramaphosa. In the 128-page application, Magashule repeats the allegations he has made about his suspension in more detail, painting himself as a victim of Ramaphosa's CR-17 faction of the party. He also relies on a transcript of the leaked audio recordings from that last National Executive Committee meeting, which appear to back up these claims. He says the fact that Ramaphosa's suspension wasn't put in effect It's clear evidence of selective justice. Well, I would tell you selective justice, clear evidence of selective justice would be the unprosecuted murderers of Brendan Horner, the 26-year-old, four-month pregnant Indian woman, Edward Neumeister, an Austrian immigrant, hacked to death with a panga, 60 people per day murdered, Jacob Zuma not in prison, shall we continue? Sheikh Shabir barely does any prison time, gets out for medical reasons and walks around for years playing golf and having a lovely life after committing his violent crimes. His vile crimes, not violent crimes. Yeah, that's selective jurisprudence, to say the least. And the saga of the Car Powership. This is a Turkish company that won a tender for 225 billion rand, ladies and gentlemen. 225 billion rand to provide electricity with converted cargo ships. Now, the concept works. They're successful. Car Powership does deliver electricity. For instance, in Lebanon, they have ships offshore that deliver power to Beirut, which desperately needs it because the Lebanese are incapable of providing electricity themselves. South Africa, of course, is the same boat. The third world banana republic that South Africa is in 2021 cannot provide sufficient electricity for its own people, let alone its own industry or the neighboring states that once relied upon it as a reliable power source. Yeah, well, Car Powership, the whole bid, according to this investigation by Ama Bugane, the investigative site, has given the indication the entire process was rigged, legal but rigged, to set the outcome. And there you go. There you go. That's the guy right there. Mineral Resource Energy Minister Gwede Mantas. Car Powership, the Turkish-led consortium tipped as the preferred bidder for an estimated 225 billion energy deal, was dealt an extraordinary series of aces during the tender process. When Minerals Resources and Energy Minister Gwede Mantas announced preferred bidders in March, three of the eight preferred projects belongs to Car Powership, supplying 1,220 of the 2,000 megawatts on offer. The project involved five power ships being moored in the ports of Koga, Richards Bay, and Saldanha. Perhaps the most problematic of Mantas' department, which ran the tender, permitted temporary leases of secondhand ships to qualify as greenfield projects and magically met a 40% local content threshold during construction, despite the fact that they are foreign built. And there you go. The fix is in South Africa. Is it any surprise, ladies and gentlemen? Wait till we find out how much money was put in the hands of the people involved in this tender process. We'll find that out eventually. We will find that out eventually. Meanwhile, expropriation without compensation, the theft of land, legal theft of land from legal authorized property owners, those who hold clear title to land, is well underway. The South African government has put this on the table about 4 years ago, and it's still there before Parliament, waiting for it to become a law, the expropriation without compensation. Now, bear in mind that the 1996 Constitution already allows the government to expropriate land with compensation. But you see, the thieves in the ANC can't profit when they have to buy the land from legitimate sellers. There are thousands of pieces of property and hundreds of farms currently on sale throughout South Africa. Their price is being depressed by this question about land tenure, which is cloudy owing to this effort by these vile socialists to steal legitimately acquired property. Now, before the flying monkeys and the nationalists and the racists come attacking me, but land was stolen. No. Yes, we know, well aware of that. 75,000 land claims were filed from 1995 to 1995 in a five-year window in which people are allowed to make a claim going back to the year 1910, which is when South Africa became a country under the Union of South Africa Act. And since that date, people could make a claim if land was dispossessed, taken away from them, their parents, their grandparents, someone in their lineage. Over 74,000 of those original 75,000 claims were resolved, many through financial means, and we can have a legitimate argument about whether it was sufficient or adequate payment and compensation, which it wasn't, I would submit, but that isn't germane to the conversation here. The conversation we're hearing now is the lies about land being stolen from people who didn't even exist in 1685, in 1725, and those who started wars against others and lost a war as a consequence. Unfortunately, whether they like it or not, warfare is a legitimate form of political discourse. And the results of war are the results of war. And that's how it is. The distortion about land in South Africa is off the charts. But the reality is this. The government is sitting on 700,000 hectares of productive land, which they refuse to issue to aspiring black farmers. Instead, they choose to distort the argument and attack white people. Why? Because they're racist, vile slime. That's why. Sitting on this land, and the minister saying it's moving at a slower pace than they expected. Well, of course it's moving at a slower pace than they expected because you seem to want to distort the argument about land. The government's plan to raise 700,000 hectares of vacant or underutilized state land for use by black farmers is proceeding more slowly than expected. Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development Minister Toko Tzida told MPs on Thursday. The release of state land for land reform was announced by Ramaphosa last October as a priority to speed up land reform. The 700,000 hectares include 896 farms, most of which were acquired by homeland governments during apartheid and remain state property. So the state is the one, and of course the state is the single largest landowner in South Africa, sitting on the land. And by the way, if you want to empower black South Africans, why don't you issue clear title to RDP housing? Millions of people live in RDP housing. RDP housing is the government subsidized project that gave houses to poor South Africans, overwhelmingly almost all black South Africans. Give them clear title to the land and the house on it. Right now, it will cost the government of South Africa $0. In fact, it'll save them money. They won't have to administer the program anymore. The people that live there will now own land. They will own physical property worth billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of rand instantly, creating wealth out of thin air. It's not out of thin air. That wealth is there, but it's locked up by the government. Why? The government doesn't want independent, educated, thinking, successful black South Africans. They want angry, agitated, racially inclined South Africans who were victimized to blame others for their failures. They don't want anyone educated, successful, who's black, unless they're an ANC supporter and cadre. And that's the bottom line. You can take that to the bank. Meanwhile, in quite an embarrassing situation here, thieves broke into the Hoedspruit Air Force Base near Kruger National Park. They managed to breach security at the Air Force Base and break into an office on the weekend. Hoedspruit Air Force Base on the border of the Kruger National Park near Mozambique is home to the 19th Squadron, a helicopter unit. You can see an Oryx right there from one of their helicopters. South African National Defense Force spokesperson Brigadier General Mafi Mokhobuzi Buzi confirmed the incident, but did not provide details other than to confirm the break-in occurred at the finance office of the base. Hoedspruit is a modern fighter base, formerly known as Fighter Town, when the Mirage F1 and Mirage 3 French fighter jets were based there. It's now home to the A109, LUH, and Oryx helicopters. The SANDF would like to reiterate that any acts of criminality will not be tolerated. Perpetrators will face the full might of the law. Yeah, somehow I doubt they ever come to justice. And that's quite embarrassing when you can't protect your own base. Meanwhile, news you can use, South Africa, if you're from South Africa, good news for you and for neighboring states who rely on South Africa for their data feed off the pipes that come up through the undersea cables into South Africa. Internet service providers have a fiber war going on in South Africa, and that's a benefit for consumers. South African broadband users are enjoying big price cuts and free speed upgrades on fiber-to-the-home products with fiber network operators and ISPs fighting for market share. The price war was started by OpenServe when it upgraded speeds and cut prices on its fiber products in March. OpenServe said the speed upgrades came at no additional cost to ISP partners as an incentive to enable them to easily upgrade their customers. Frogfoot quickly followed suit by permanently increasing the line speeds of fiber packages of 50 megabytes and below. Look at that, folks. Some good news there. Herotel was next, improving the value proposition on its 10 megabytes, 50 megabytes, 100, 200 megabyte packages. The fiber network operator also added 75 megabyte and 1 gigabyte services. And the cabinet, Ramaphosa's cabinet, has sent 6 bills for consideration as laws in South Africa. The first is on firearms. The bill proposes the tighter controls and management of firearms and the establishment of the National Firearms Registry. Well, there you go. Just like the fascist and Nazi Germany. They'll know where the weapons are. They'll know who has the weapons. And when they seek to disarm you politically, they'll do so physically by taking your firearms. Meanwhile, criminals will run around uncontrolled, unrestricted, with unlicensed, illegal firearms, murdering, looting, and stealing. Yeah. Well, thank you for yet more restrictions on our liberty in South Africa, the ruling African National Congress. Terrorism. The cabinet has also approved this. The bill seeks to align South Africa's current legislative framework to international laws that seek to combat terrorism. Well, that's not out of order. Fuel. The bill provides a legislative and regulatory framework to create a conducive environment for investment, growth, and job creation in the upstream petroleum resources market, the cabinet said. It also provides clarity on application, permits, rights, transferability, participation of the state. Well, let me tell you how you can create job growth in the fuel market. Stop state price controls. Allow the market to operate and allow people to compete on price, service, reliability, quality of product, and stop artificially setting the market. You can't do that. It doesn't work. It's been proven time and time and time again. In every country where there are price controls on goods, commodity goods, those countries suffer immeasurably with commodity price swings. And commodity price swings don't swing because of socialist markets. They swing because of supply and demand. That's the bottom line. Look at people hoarding gas this week, terrified that there would be no gasoline, petrol, here on the East Coast of the United States. Prices spiked instantly over that consumer behavior. Nuclear power is also on the table with this new bill. It further strengthens the enforcement provisions of the inspectors and the occupational safety exposure risk for air crews. It also seeks to align with the International Atomic Energy Prescripts and Best Practices. Okay, not sure we really need to change that law, but if you say so. Food and agriculture. The bill includes a number of interventions aimed at protecting customers and strengthens the regulatory framework for agricultural production, health, and food safety of certain agricultural products. All right, and plants. This bill seeks to promote safety regarding the movement of plant products for export and import. It amends measures to prevent the introduction of foreign quarantine pest diseases and regulates non-quarantine pests. Well, I hope this doesn't turn South Africa into New Zealand, a country terrified of foreign invaders. try traveling through New Zealand and see what they do if you have a pair of new shoes. If you have a pair of boots, you wait for the rectal body cavity search that takes place in New Zealand. And KPMG, the corporation that's an American corporation with a South African subsidiary, is proud of its wokeness as it brings in 9 new partners. The firm shows its commitment to attracting and nurturing talent and driving transformation. Bear in mind that last statement, driving transformation. There you go. It's appointing 9 new partners with the business, 5 internal promotions, and 4 external. So 4 people that work with the company have come in at the top level. As a business focused on attracting and retaining credible talent needed to serve the market with distinction, create exciting, purposeful careers, and accelerate transformation, KPMG SA has spent the past 3 years upskilling and motivating people internally and externally to share its renewed sense of purpose. Blah. All right, let's take a look at their new hires. Here you go, folks. And there you go. So we have Achin Lalu, Carolyn Moremi, Divesh Dulba, Finn Elliott, Kashmira Naran, Khalid Abraham, Leon Grobler, Nompakomo Mantanzima, and Zimkita Mabindla. So let's see. Not a single black man amongst the 9 people. Where's the transformation? Black men make up 40% of South Africa's population. Not a single black man, but 3 Asians, 3 Asian men, an Asian woman. Fully 45% of the new partners are Asians, yet Asians make up just a fraction of South Africa's population, less than 3%, about 2%. 3 black women and 2 white men. Now, I say this in jest and being facetious, but ladies and gentlemen, the wokeness of these corporations is vile and disgusting, absolutely vile and disgusting. Why should we even hear or care about this? It shouldn't matter. Why does a corporation feel the need to tout its wokeness? It shouldn't. It just shows you how broken the world is. Speaking of wokeness, Amnesty International goes off the rails with its assertion that only white people were evacuated from Cabo Delgado in a racial segregation, leaving black people to their fates. Lies, lies, and more lies. For those who need to recall the events that occurred in Cabo Delgado when the ghoulish group claiming affiliation with ISIS began chopping people apart, beheading people, burning bikers, white bikers in a bar, shooting those who tried to escape, burning them alive in a grisly, grisly attack. They didn't target people based on their skin, but they did target people who were expatriates based on their supposed wealth and ostensibly their skin color too, I suppose. But Amnesty International has claimed that only white people were evacuated. Of course, that doesn't comport with any of the facts. What actually happened is that the Amarula Lodge, the guy who ran the lodge, people were hiding there at the hotel who were guests, and he called for help. Someone sent the Dyke Group with their helicopter, their lone helicopter, to fly there. Unfortunately, they had to refuel 100-plus kilometers to the south, and their time on station was limited. They made 4 trips. The helicopter can carry 6 people. They carried 24 people to safe before they're unable to travel there again. And a group of white expatriates drove out leading a convoy trying to help people escape and helped 150 people, local black Mozambicans, escape who were clustered around the hotel. Utter tissue of lies. Amnesty International should be ashamed of itself It disgraces its reputation with this fraudulent report. Rights group alleges in report citing survivors that white contractors were airlifted to safety before black people after March attack on Mozambican town. In a report compiled from interviews with 11 black survivors, Amnesty on Thursday said that even dogs were pulled to safety before black people by helicopter that airlifted civilians from a hotel where they had sought refuge. White contractors were airlifted to safety before black local people, said Amnesty International, adding the hotel manager took his two German shepherds on the rescue helicopter, leaving people behind. The Dyke Advisory Group, a South African private company hired to help Mozambique government fight the armed group, which was involved in the rescue operation, rejected the allegations. We rescued 24 people from the Amarula Lodge on the 25th of March. This consisted of 6 white persons, 18 black persons of differing nationalities, the company said in a statement. The DAG team did not choose who would not be evacuated. They secured the landing site and loaded the people that were sent to them for evacuation by the lodge manager. Some 200 people, mainly civilians, civil servants, and foreigners working nearby gas plants, sheltered at the hotel during the attack. Amnesty said there were about 20 white workers among the group holed up in the beachfront hotel. While the white contractors were prioritized to be airlifted to safety, the black nationals were left to fend for themselves. After the majority of the white contractors and a few well-off black nationals, among them administrator for Palm, were rescued, those left behind to flee by ground convoy were ambushed. Now, unfortunately, this lie, now see this, abandoning people during an armed assault simply because of the color of skin is racism, violates the obligation to protect civilians. Adding that the hotel manager chose to rescue his dogs instead of people is extremely shocking. Well, making false allegations is racist. Your allegation is racist, and Amnesty International ought to be ashamed of its conduct here. One survivor told Amnesty, we didn't want all white people to be rescued because we knew that if all the whites left, we would be left there to die. We heard of them talking about a plan to take all the whites and leave. But that is a lie. If there were 20 white expatriates there and only 6 were taken out by helicopter, why were 14 left behind? 60%+ of the white people were left to their own fate, just like most black people. 18 black individuals were taken out of there. On to the story of the Nell family, one of whom was killed in the ambush. I was there. We were all abandoned, black and white, tweeted Wesley Nell. He's the brother of Adrian Nell, who was killed in the assault. But it was us white people who saved 150 locals by driving us all out of there, he wrote on Twitter. Several witnesses also told Amnesty the hotel manager took advantage of the chaotic situation to take his two German Shepherd dogs to safety via helicopter. They say if the dogs hadn't gone, about 2 or 3 more people could have gone on the helicopter, one survivor said. That dismayed people because some people didn't get in the helicopter because of the dogs. 12 decapitated bodies were found strewn in front of the hotel days after the attack. Here's the problem with this story, though. As the group says, the helicopter could take 6 people at a time. It made 4 trips. 4 trips before it couldn't go back for fuel. German Shepherd weighs 35 to 40 pounds. Another German Shepherd weighs 35 to 40 pounds. And a human being weighs at least 120 pounds to 200 pounds. The helicopter did not take people not based on space. It took the 6 passengers it could take, and it flew. The fact that the dogs got on, they obviously didn't overload the weight. So this is a non sequitur, and it's just an utter tissue of lies. How can they, with a straight face, say that whites were prioritized when less than a third of the whites were evacuated by helicopter and 18 blacks were? 3 times as many black Africans were evacuated as whites. This vile, woke, racist nonsense must stop. If you want to lay blame, ask where the FATM was, the armed forces of Mozambique. Where were they in protecting civilians in Mozambique, in Cabo Delgado province, in Palma? Where is Frelimo in neglecting this province since 74, actually. You can make the argument they fought a civil war until 92, but since 1992, they've had undisputed total control of this country, and they have neglected this province. Repeatedly, no resources, no effort, while the West has forgiven billions of dollars of loans for this country, while this country bought a fictional maritime fleet, pilfering hundreds of millions of dollars by corrupt officials, billions of dollars in aid given, yet this province is chronically neglected. That is not Washington's fault. That is not Pretoria's fault. That is not London's fault. That is not Lisbon's fault. That is Maputo's fault and Frelimo. And this crisis is their fault and Pretoria's fault and Habaroni's fault at SADC for ignoring this. It's been going on since 2017, people being murdered by these ghouls. And only now does it get international attention. I predicted this crisis a decade ago. Nobody wanted to hear it. I warned people 4 years ago when the deaths started mounting. No one wanted to hear. And now we simply have groups like Amnesty International trying to create racial division over a fraudulent, false, misleading narrative. Meanwhile, folks, in Algeria, the devaluation of the dinar is not going over well as riots continue in Algiers. Algerian dinar devaluation sparks fresh wave of social unrest. Falling oil revenues, unemployment, inflation falling, purchasing power, anger is growing among Algeria's population, which is calling for more strikes and demonstrations against government. Now, what happens here is quite ironic. We have firefighters protesting being attacked by police. On May 2nd, unprecedented scenes of rioting in the streets of Algeria. Well, it's not exactly unprecedented. Algeria has had a very violent history since independence. And since 1992 as well. Unprecedented scenes of rioting in the streets of Algiers pitted two groups of professionals against each other in a tense confrontation. Squads of firemen brandishing placards bearing demands while being beaten up and turned away by squads of riot police. Arranged in compact cordons, the forces of law and order sealed off the headquarters of the General Directorate of Civil Protection where the firefighters intended to organize a sit-in protest. Algeria witnesses such confrontations practically every day with increasingly febrile political and social climate. This is not good, ladies and gentlemen. Algeria is going through a very serious situation which could threaten peace, stability, and the actual government at some point if it continues. We'll pay attention to events in Algeria as they continue to unfold, but I do not have the best of hopes for what's happening there. The Daily Maverick reports that the Kenya High Court has stopped President Kenyatta from accruing power to himself. Kenya's High Court ruled on Thursday that a drive by President Kenyatta to change the constitution was illegal, stopping what his critics have called a political move designed to check his deputy, whom he has fallen out with publicly. By issuing a ruling on several challenges lodged by various parties, a five-judge panel of the court said Kenyatta had used a constitutional provision reserved for citizens to initiate changes, making the process illegal. The president cannot be both player and umpire in the same match, said Yaris Nga, one of the judges. Well, there you have it. That's a blow for Kenyatta, who seeks to accrue power like most African heads of state, trying to use the constitution to subvert it for their own purposes. Unfortunate. Meanwhile, they lied to us, ladies and gentlemen. They lied to us. They told us that they were not paying the ransomware. They refused to capitulate to these criminals. That's exactly what they did. This report from the British Broadcasting Corporation, U.S. fuel pipeline paid hackers $5 million ransom. Major U.S. fuel pipelines reportedly paid cyber criminal gang DarkSide nearly $5 million in ransom following a cyber attack. They suffered a ransomware cyber attack over the weekend. It took service down for 5 days and has led to all sorts of economic chaos on the eastern seaboard, with some states like North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia having as much as half or more of available petrol not in stations. And another A380 bites the dust. Sad news for those who are proponents of the A380. As a consumer, I enjoyed flying on the aircraft, but it was a tough sell. The big hub and spoke concept, which works for Emirates, but not many other airlines, to haul this many passengers internationally. Now, the hub and spoke concept works within countries. The United States, we have that. We have Delta's hub in Atlanta. We have United's hub in Chicago. And we have a hub for American Airlines in Charlotte and so on. Southwest is in Dallas. And these are their hubs. And they have spokes to carry their passengers all over, bringing them to the major point and taking to the others on another flight. Very much more efficient network. That works on a domestic level in many countries, including the United States. But internationally, the only airlines that seem to have been able to pull this off successfully are Emirates and Qatar and others like that. So the A380 has not worked out the way Airbus intended, and yet another one bites the dust. According to images recently shared on social media, the late last year, HiFly decided against renewing its lease on the aircraft with the jet's livery removed. It was repositioned to France, and now in Tarbes, it's been scrapped. Wow, and we're going to see some pictures of this, folks. Look at that. Il s'agit du 6e A340-80 construit. Il avait débuté sa carrière chez Singapore Airlines. This aircraft began its career with Singapore Airlines. It's the 6th A380 built. It joins a small pool of A380s that have been confirmed have been scrapped. The last was Air France, the first Air France A380 retired, being deconstructed in Ireland. While many A380s have been withdrawn for operators, they are resting their wings in long-term storage. But not this one. It's gone. It is gone. Torn apart. Meanwhile, in the Bundesliga, German's soccer league, Robert Lewandowski is on the verge of setting a record, breaking Gerd Müller's 1970s-era record if he gets 40 goals. Two games remaining, and that is what's on the tap. So Robert Lewandowski is on the verge. Scored 39 times with two games remaining in the 2021 season. Now that he's back from injury, will Bayern Munich's striker break Gerd Müller's 40-goal record? Well, he's going to need two goals to do it. Müller's 1971-72 feat appeared untouchable until Lewandowski came along. And the Polish captain has been edging closer and closer to his Bayern predecessor in recent years. Of course, Gerd Müller played his entire career in the Reds uniform for Bayern Munich. A sensational run of scoring in each of the campaign's first 11 matches set Lewandowski on the path, but eventually fell short. That was last year of Müller's now 49-year-old record. He has a chance to break a 49-year-old record. Robert Lewandowski, folks. We'll see what happens there. And bonus coverage here. A bit long on the news today. It's a Friday, so we'll continue here. We'll be almost near the end, folks. Bear with me a few more minutes. This is The Dark Side, the hacking group linked to the Colonial Pipeline attack, which I was just discussing, says it's closing down. The criminal group linked to the cyber attack told associates it's closing down. A website operated by ransomware group DarkSide, which U.S. officials have said is believed to originate in Eastern Europe, has said it's been down since Thursday. They're out of business. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, but look for those affiliates of DarkSide to come back in another form. DarkSide clearly is shutting down because they're now a major target for those seeking cyber criminals. And so, you know, the game is up. The game is afoot. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to now show you an advertisement from GoArmy.com. This is the U.S. Army's recruiting campaign to entice young Americans to join the military. Then I'm going to show you a different commercial from the 1980s. But here you go. This is a current video that it's not a joke. This isn't made up. This is real, folks. This is real story. This is what the U.S. Army is doing, the woke army is doing to recruit young Americans to join its ranks. It's not about leadership. It's not about challenge. It's not about service to nation, country before self, achievement. It's about woke. And here you go.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin. I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. When I was 6 years old, one of my moms had an accident that left her paralyzed. Doctors said she might never walk again. But she tapped into my family's pride to get back on her feet, eventually standing at the altar to marry my other mom. With such powerful role models, I finished high school at the top of my class and then attended UC Davis, where I joined a sorority full of other strong women. But as graduation approached, I began feeling like I'd been handed so much in life, a sorority girl stereotype. Sure, I'd spent my life around inspiring women, but what had I really achieved on my own? One of my sorority sisters was studying abroad in Italy. Another was climbing Mount Everest. I needed my own adventures, my own challenge. And after meeting with an Army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way. I'm U.S. Army Corporal Emma Malone Lord, and I answered my calling.
I don't know what calls you folks, but that certainly doesn't call me. That is nothing to do with service to nation and country, honor, leadership, challenges. A typical childhood, really. I have sisters. None of them experienced ballet growing up. None of my sisters played the violin. None of us played a musical instrument. We lived in abject poverty. Wow. Unmarried parents. Well, I suppose that's typical in many societies or many parts of the world. So she felt so much was handed to her. Well, I guess she feels guilt. The Army is recruiting people based on their guilt, really. And she had never accomplished anything. Well, you're in college. What do you expect to accomplish? Creating the next vaccine? Launching a ship to Mars at the age of 18 or 21? What exactly are you talking about? Italy as an accomplishment? a wealthy American student gets to spend a semester studying in Italy and you consider that an achievement, it's not an achievement. That's a generous gift. That's an opportunity. This young lady is very confused. And this is what the Army is using to recruit soldiers. Talk about off the mark. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you a real ad from the Army. This is from the 1980s, and this is an ad, one of the ads that came about when I joined the Army. Here you go. This is a real ad, how you recruit people.
You're reaching deep inside you for things you've never known. It's been tough, rough going, but you haven't gone alone.
We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Hey, First Sergeant. Good morning.
You can do it in the Army.
Now that's an ad that gets your attention. That's an ad that inspires people to do something. We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. And that's a true statement, ladies and gentlemen. That advert, which I just showed you, is one of a whole series of advertisements. It's a much longer one. Keep on reaching, keep on growing. That whole song, they did multiple ones. And if you watch the advertisements, the Army wasn't woke, but the Army was accurate. These advertisements from 1981 forward for two decades, watch the 1981 advertisement. Women, people of color, throughout these advertisements, in positions of authority and responsibility, in computers, driving tanks around, talking about team, being all you can be as being part of a team, not moaning about how life is handed to you. This is from the 1980s and 1990s when these commercials were part of a component of the Army's Be All You Can Be recruiting campaign. With this new slogan, the Army greatly increased the number and quality of its recruits over the next two decades of its use. The initial idea for the slogan, Be All You Can Be, came from Earl Carter of the N.W. Air and Sun Advertising Agency. Under the direction of then Major General Maxwell Thurman, the commanding general U.S. Army Recruiting Command, this led to an increase in the quality of recruits that the all-volunteer force had. It wasn't woke. It was correct, and it included people of color and women, and it talked about teamwork, honor, service to nation, service above self. What is the purpose of the U.S. military? This buffoonish, cartoonish, I thought I was watching a Saturday morning cartoon, not an ad to recruit somebody from the military. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the headlines and the in-depth analysis of today's news for today, May 14th, 2021. Thank you for tuning in, and we will light the smoking lamp in just a moment. Appreciate it. Thank you for following the channel and your support for it, where you'll find unbiased, objective analysis of news and events.